Testing, Marcel, testing. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me mute myself. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, members. Good morning also to the Department of State SA, the SG, Mr. Moluleke. Welcome to this meeting. Because it is our first interaction with this department members, I would ask you to all switch on your videos, introduce yourselves, and when we are finished, I will ask also the department to do the same. Let me take this opportunity, members, to welcome each and every one to this very important meeting of the Select Committee of Health and Social Services. And let me then also welcome the Department of State SA as part of our oversight that has been added onto our committee. Thank you very much. I know it's very cold. It's raining cats and dogs in Cape Town. Let's hope that our connection won't leave us in the dark this morning. Members, let me start then by introducing myself. I will also expect the staff to also then introduce yourself. Switch on your video when you speak, please. My name is Marisha Killian. I am the chairperson of this committee, and I will hand over now to the other members of the committee.
Thanks, chairperson.
You can continue, Member Chabaleng.
Yes, my name is Alec Chabaleng. I originate from Limpopo province. I serve in this committee. Good morning and thank you.
Morning, Chair.
Good morning, Dongeni.
My name is Nokuzola Dongeni. I'm from Eastern Cape. I'm serving in this committee.
Thank you, Member Dongeni.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson.
Good morning, Honorable Nkosi.
My name is Esther Nkosi, the member of this committee from Mpumalanga Province. I thank you.
Thank you, Member.
Morning, Chairperson.
Morning, Member Lee.
My name is Lee. My name is Lee from Northwest. I serve in this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Morning, Chair.
Morning, Member Letuli.
Hi, my name is Lindile Lutuli, a member of this committee from KwaZulu-Natal, the most beautiful province. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Morning, Chairperson. I'm Dalmain Christian, and I'm from the Northern Cape province.
Thank you, Member Dalmain.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm not sure if my video is okay, but I am Mulelo Bacha from Gauteng, and I serve in this committee as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Bacha. That's all the members that is present. Can we now move to our staff? Our support staff, Marcel.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, Chair, I was muted. Good morning, all. I'm Marcel Williams, and I am the committee secretary for the Select Committee on Health and Social Services. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Marcel.
Good morning, Chairperson members and colleagues. My name is Tabile Keke, the content advisor for the committee.
Thanks, Tabile. Kaluli year. Zuki. Zuki, are you here? Okay, maybe she have a problem there. Can we move to the department, Mr. Maluleke?
Greetings indeed, Chairperson. I have switched on my video. I hope you can see me from that side. Let me greet you indeed, Honorable Chairperson, and appreciate the fact that we, you and members of the Select Committee on Health and Social Services have invited us not only to just come and present once off, but to be part of this rubric of departments that report to you. Let me mention that we have colleagues from StatsSA, and I will ask them to go in quick order to introduce themselves. I know one of the acting DDGs, Yandi Swampe Cheney, is not available. She has apologized, as well as the DDG in the form of Jody Bierre's DDG for Economic Statistics is on leave. And Thabiseng Makgatha, we will be lucky if she's able to join. She's in the field. We have just come out of the field of the census. In terms of hectic work, and many colleagues have found some respite to take leave, whereas Thabiseng Makgatha is on the post-enumeration survey for the census, a program that I will talk to. Chairperson, what we will do in our presentation is not only just to present, we will use this opportunity at high level to indicate our reporting structure in terms of where we report with the minister and the kind of structures, including the State Council, that we have, that we work with, so that we assist Chairperson and members to appreciate the kind of space that StatsSA finds itself. So if I could start, Ashwell, you see John, your camera, they see you, followed by the other colleagues and DDGs. Celia and Annette will also introduce themselves as well as Dumisa. Let's go in that quick order.
Thank you, Chair. I hope I'm audible and visible. My name is Ashwell Jenniker. I'm responsible for the provincial coordination and statistical operations of StatsSA. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Calvin Molongwana. I'm the acting DDG for Statistical Support and Informatics, and I'm also the project director for Census 2022. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bruce Uester. I'm the acting DDG for Corporate Services.
Chairperson, I don't see Nozipho Shabalala. She has, I've just been advised, She's on leave. Yandi Swampe Cheney, I've already indicated she's on leave. Thabiseng Makgatha, I've indicated she's in the field. But I know Celia de Klerk and Dumisa Jele are here. So if they could show their faces in that quick order. Celia, Bruce, please go ahead, and then we can start with the presentation.
Thank you, SG. Thank you, Chair. I'm Sheila de Klerk, in the office of the SG, responsible for strategy, operations, and organizational development. Thank you. I'm trying to show my video. It doesn't want to show this morning. Thank you.
We can see you.
Good morning, Chairperson and esteemed committee members. My name is Dumisa Jele. I'm head of office of the Statistician General. Thank you.
So that is the team. members, Mr. Maluleki, first allow me to the agenda is flight on the screen. We already do it. And the second point is apologies, Department of Brilliant Financial Year and the Census Update Report. Then we will allow about from 5 past discussions, questions of clarity and responses. Excuse the department and we will move from 12 o'clock only for our official business of adopting of the committee minutes and other business. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda?
Please.
Thank you, Member Lee. Can we have a second?
Dungeni.
Thank you, Member Dungeni. The apologies that we received is from Minister Gungu Bele, who is, as you all are aware, there's a three-line whip in the National Assembly. And all members of the National Assembly must be present in the sitting. So Member Gungu Bele unfortunately can't join us. And that's why Mr. Maluleke, who's the SG of the department, is leading the delegation. I see a hand, Calvin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted just to notify that there is Dr. Tlhabi Murudu, who's the acting DDG for economic statistics in the meeting. Maybe he should also introduce himself. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Can the acting DDG introduce herself?
Thanks, and good morning, everyone. I hope I'm visible on the screen. I am Tlhabi Murudu, and I'm currently acting for JODPR in the economics trust, economics branch. Thanks.
Thank you. Members, can we accept the apology of the minister in the presidency?
Honorable Chair, I propose that the apology of the minister is presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Nkosi. Members, without any further ado, let me hand over to the department for the presentation. Thank you. Over to you, SG.
Thank you indeed, Chairperson. Let me indicate that while you were handling apologies, and I'm outside procedure, I was following up on Deputy Minister Thembi Sweya, who, whenever the minister is not able to lead us, does lead us, and I've just been advised that she has also carried her apologies, and she has asked me to take it through yourselves, and let me apologize for that, because I just advised the office that, as a matter of procedure, they should have sent it through quite earlier, but I will still present the apology, Chairperson. Now, if you allow me to go through the presentation, indeed, Chairperson, we are going to talk about strategic overview. We are going to talk about the 2022-2023 plans. We are going to share developments on the census, and we will talk about risks and priorities. Let me indicate, Chairperson, that I do stammer, and if I happen to stammer, please finish for me. Whatever you finish, Chairperson, will be in order. Let us look at who are we as status. We are a national government department in that we have our establishment in terms of the management and leadership is driven at the level of a national level. We do have indeed footprints at provincial as well as at district level. So we have in every province, we have the provincial offices established as well as in all the districts, except in one or two where we manage them from another district because of the small size of such a district. We are accountable to the minister in the presidency, and so Chairperson has already spoken about the apology that we have received from the minister in the presidency. Our mandate is to collect, produce, and disseminate official and other statistics. And we coordinate producers of statistics. I must say that on this issue of official and other, I will talk about this in subsequent slides when I talk about the role of council. Our activities are regulated by the Statistics Act, that is Act number 6 of 1999, that provide for independence of status and indeed oversight by council, which I will talk to when I come to such a slide, Chairperson. Other than the Statistics Act, which regulates us at a national level, we also have at a continental level the African Charter on Statistics, which has six principles and was adopted by the African Union. We have already been made to appear before the NCOP at some stage, if I will recall well, on the charter, and I think at an appropriate moment, since we're a member of this select committee, it would be very critical that we brief yourselves about the charter because it has to go through parliamentary processes so that it can be properly deposited at the African Union. South Africa hasn't signed yet. At the global level, that is at the United Nations, we are guided by the fundamental principles of official statistics. Those are 10 principles that largely talk to independence, the impartiality, and the responsibility that we have to illuminate numbers at all times without prejudice, fear, or favor. Having said so, Chairperson, let me also indicate that these establishments are not just regulating us. We are active players both at SADC, at the African Union level, as well as at the United Nations level, that no matters of statistics, even at the global level, the world over, are discussed without status being involved. And we are actually amongst the few in the world that have reached that level of engaging on matters statistics the world over or not being overlooked. Let us look at the role players, Chairperson. The president indeed from the side of government appoints and removes the statistician general. The minister manages the performance of the statistician general and approves the work program on the advice of the statistician general and council. And further, the minister appoints the South African Statistics Council. The statistician general executes the Statistics Act, exercises independence on matters, methods, particularly defends statistical methods and best practice, and is responsible for official and other statistics, and institutes and stops Siri without interference. So what happens when we talk about official and other statistics is that the statistician general, chairperson, and members can sometimes find statistics that are poor coming from any other producer. And the statistician general can work with such a producer to have these statistics at the level of acceptance, management statistics, and at the higher level, official statistics, where the statistician general puts a stamp and say, now the statistics are official, and can by way of delegation, allow such a producer to produce their own statistics while it's official, or can produce such statistics. And I'll give a good example.
Sorry, Mr. Maluleke, I see Member Chabaleng's hand is raised. Member Chabaleng? Member Chabaleng, I see your hand is raised, or is it an old hand? Sorry, AG, continue.
No, it's an old hand. Sorry, Chairperson.
Okay. Continue, Mr. Maluleke.
Thank you indeed, Chairperson. Now, when statistics, like statistics of agriculture, commercial agriculture, the budget is voted through the Department of Agriculture, but the department does ask us to conduct such statistics and release them as official statistics. Whereas the statistics on crime, we will know that they are released by SAPS, yet they are official, and the statistician general has put a stamp on that the statistics are official. And we will remember that there were times that there was a moratorium on crime statistics in that they were no longer official. They had degenerated to a level of needing quality checks, which we have gone through and approved and then promoted them to be official. But it doesn't apply to statistics outside StatsSA. Even in StatsSA, the statistician general can relegate statistics if they don't meet quality prescripts. Back to be just other statistics other than being official. And we do keep on following that from time to time. In terms of instituting and stopping SIR without interference, Chairperson, it is that the minister, there are programs that we work on and we will talk to them at some stage, Chairperson, but the minister or any organ of state may advise the statistician general to start a collection. But once that collection has been started and it starts forming a series, that is, it has 2 points and beyond, whether we collect it monthly over and we have 2 months or beyond, or quarterly, 2 quarters or beyond, or annually, or over 5 years or 10 years, once it has 2 points or beyond, it forms a series. And once it's a series, it can no longer be stopped by a minister or any other person. Only the statistician general can stop that based on the a lack of funds in some cases. And particularly, lack of funds should not be an excuse, but particularly when it doesn't meet methodological requirements. This is to protect future generations, Chairperson and members, that we should not from time to time just start collections and stop them. And future generations do not know the numbers about their country. and that they will not be able to plan, because sometimes to plan, they will have to look backwards at what happened and where were challenges in terms of performance of our programs. One good example is the GDP, gross domestic product, which is our national accounts, showing how our economy performs. It has been running for about 7 decades now, and it's one we need to protect. There's the census. There are other statistics like quarterly labor force survey, which we started in 2008. Now, the Statistics Council, many people sometimes call the South African Statistics Council, Council for Statistics, say, no, Chairperson, it is an independent council with members coming out of the public, coming out of the academia, coming out of organized labor, government, and indeed members of society. And these are members who are distinguished in their own rights, and they safeguard official statistics. So while the statistician general may have other statistics that he graduates, their interest is in official statistics, and they advise both the minister and the statistician general, and they are independent of statistics and the minister. So these are three institutions, the minister, the statistician general, and council, are independent of each other in that at any given moment, should they have differences, especially in terms of operations of methods, each of them can issue a statement that indicates their position to the public. I must indicate, Chairperson, that we have never reached such stage because a council, and the ministry and the Office of the Statistician General have always been led by men and women that always find recourse and always find time to engage on issues that need attention. There were times that council had indicated that they would resign based on the fact of the lack of funding for statistics, say that they could no longer vouch for the numbers that the statistician general produces, but that has been resolved between the minister and council and the statistician general. And had that happened, Chairperson, it would have weakened the system of national statistics, because the statistician general is also a member of council ex officio, although is appointed. So the statistician general without council would have been left too much in the open and quite naked without advice that the statistician general needs at all times. So we serve the public, business, organs of the state, and indeed we serve members of the public. I will now start moving a lot more faster in terms of the work of statistics, in that we have about 2,674 staff members, with a vacancy rate of 19.3%, our work program has 368 work program targets, and our budget, annual budget, is sitting at 2.8 billion, and we have more than 270 statistical products annually. So almost every day, Chairperson, there's a product coming out of StatsSA. And as of now, there are others that will be coming out today and tomorrow. Some don't make it a cut into media interest. Some are the interest groups are people who use such data specifically. Let us look at this stuff at the leadership complement of StatsSA. There are a lot of acting people, Chairperson, I must admit, in that out of the 7 DDGs, 4 are in acting capacity. Let me start with those that are substantive. Joe De Beer, who is represented today by Dr. Hlabi Murudi, is actually a DDG Economic Statistics. Ashwell Gineka, who is here, is DDG Statistical Operations and Provincial Coordination. Thabiseng Makgatha, whose apology I've carried, is out in the field for the post-enumeration survey, DDG methods and standards, statistical infrastructure. Those are substantive. The acting ones are Ms. Yandi Swampecheni, who is a DDG for the South African a national statistics system. This is a system that looks beyond status A in terms of the work of the entire system of statistics. Nozipho Shabalala, who is acting DDG for Population and Social Statistics, Calvin Mulungwana, who is here, acting DDG Statistical Support and Informatics, Bruce Uoste, who is also here, acting DDG Corporate Services. Let us talk about our vision. And this is a vision that we have indicated that we would like to improve lives through data ecosystems, in that we don't just want to look at the products of status, we want to look beyond that and make sure that we galvanize the entire ecosystem or different ecosystems to improve lives. Our mission is to transform the production, coordination, and use of statistics through optimization, innovation, and partnerships. And indeed, our strategic outcomes, Chairperson, we want to look at issues of insightful data, agile operating model, interconnected statistical systems, and transformed capabilities. What do we mean by insightful data? We mean that we'll sustain the quality of national indicators, particularly when we are facing financial strain, Chairperson. And there are times when we prioritize only national indicators so that we do not fail our country. We'll explore the use of alternative data sources and indeed innovate in terms of interactive dissemination platforms. On agile operating model, we will reposition and strengthen the methodology function and modernize and innovate business processes while we also innovate the statistical business and geographic frames. Interconnected statistical systems will develop a digital business transformation strategy and indeed institutionalize the South African Statistical Quality Assessment Self-Assessment, a framework for self-assessment rather than people sending data to us or agencies or organs of state. We will actually institutionalize the self-assessment, which runs on digital platforms. We will, in terms of transformed capabilities, we will invest in innovative technologies and ICT infrastructure, align structure, skills, and resources to strategy, and redeploy staff to areas where we need them. Now, let us look at program performance, Chairperson. In this regard, we want to say that we want to link policy and statistics, in that at the global level, at a world level, we have sustainable development goals. At an African level, we have the Agenda 2063. At a SADC level, which is regional, we look at SADC protocols. And at the center of everything is our national development plan, which is driven through medium-term strategic framework, which looks at sector plans, and at the provincial level, the provincial growth and development strategies, as well as the district growth and development programs that looks at the district model for implementation. And at local level, we look at IDPs. So when we produce data, we try by all means, especially one on censuses, it must report, and there must be a number, a single number that can run through at a global, a continental, regional, and national level. And at provincial level, we can start to split in terms of the performances of each. All the way to local committee later. Very, very critical that we adhere to such a principle of numbers running seamlessly across. Our core mandate in measuring society, we have 48 statistical products which are releases and reports scheduled for this financial year. In education and skills, unemployment and job creation, health and vital events, poverty, inequality, and population dynamics, housing, and access to basic service delivery. I must admit, on this one, The general household survey will come out next week on Thursday, whereas on employment and job creation and employment and unemployment, we had the quarterly labor force survey coming out 2 weeks ago. Let me mention that we also look into matters of governance, crime, and public safety. On the side of measuring the economy, we have 228 statistical report releases scheduled for this financial year. We look at economic performance. We have last week released the gross domestic product that looks at our national accounts in the form of the performance of our economy as in terms of growth and the structure of our economy, which we release every quarter. Price stability, we know that we have issues of the CPI that comes out every month, as well as the producer price indices, which is PPI, which comes out every month. CPI looks at the consumer side in terms of prices that the consumers are buying and how they are fluctuating and going up and down, whereas producers look at factory gates when products are looking at that is the PPI. We look at the financial performance of government and private sector. We look at the primary, secondary, and tertiary sector. We look at environment and agriculture and tourism and transport, Chairperson. Let us look at the highlights in terms of the population and social statistics. What are the highlights? We looked at census collection was extended, particularly in the Western Cape, where we had more challenges than any other province, Chairperson. And that we will talk more when we come to the census. And indeed, the main release of the census results will be in 2023. Many people ask us, you have just finished data collection. What are you waiting for, SG? One is that we have every aspect of data. We have a responsibility to analyze such aspect, be it matters of number of children that we have 0 to 5, fertility in terms of economic issues, employment. We have to analyze them. And after analyzing them, we must make sure they actually form patterns that we can be able to explain in line with official statistics. And then a council gets experts who will come and look at every aspect. And we bring in the results of the post-enumeration survey to confirm what our undercount is in terms of who we have missed, so that we can accordingly adjust our census results. So it's an intense work that we are working towards April 2023. We will commence with the income and expenditure survey in the third quarter, and of course, various thematic reports in the form of transport, education, child statistics, gender, marginalized groups, and food security will come out. Out of this business as usual, continuing of 48 products, amongst other things in terms of innovations, we will look at alternative data sources, especially in the area of migration. We will we'll have a discussion document on the introduction of selected external data sources for integrated indicator framework in terms of our reporting. Now, Chairperson and members, we want to talk about economic statistics. We will report with experimental residential property price indices. There will be a discussion document on quarterly capital expenditure, the feasibility study on the quarterly financial statistics of selected municipalities in terms of administrative data will come at some stage, and research report to expand on the coverage of natural capital account series becomes very critical, Chairperson, from the landmass that we have as a country, all the way to the trees and the air that we breathe, and all the way to the agricultural produce and the different structures. This is the natural capital account series. Innovations. The CPI will go digital. We have initial research into the use of administrative data to supplement the annual financial statistics, and a research report on the inclusion of technical and vocational education and training that is tivered in the higher education institutions release. Let me mention, Chairperson, that on the national statistics system, which goes beyond statistics, we will release this year the SDG goal reports, 17 goal reports. We'll continue to research on the national strategy for the development of strategy, which will commence. And we will review the integrated indicator framework, which includes the district development model indicators. Here we work with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation in terms of the integrated indicator framework. And as we go into DDM, we work with them as they have a responsibility beyond our work. We don't venture into policy, Chairperson and members. They venture into policy. Our job is to produce numbers independently. We can't even say in terms of what future policy perspectives or future options will be. Our job is to produce numbers, because when we start venturing into the policy space and one day our numbers don't confirm what we have advised, we will lose our independence by shying away to release different numbers. So we have to stay on that lane, Chairperson, all the time. At the institutionalization of the SASCAP, that is the South African Statistical Quality Assessment Framework, self-assessment portal, will be followed by training of different key players, organs of the state, as well as members of the, private sector. And indeed, we will also pilot these for administrative data sources. Statistical methods, operations, and support. We are saying that we are going to conduct, we are already in the field now. We have just started with the post-enumeration survey, which is 1% of what we conducted in the census, and I will talk later about it. We will deal with dissemination of census results at a later stage and testing an integrated operations model in provinces becomes very, very critical, especially that it's not only our footprint we need. It's also our levels of reporting we need at a provincial and sub-provincial level. We will go ahead with phase two of our web redesign, and of course, we will implement the geo portal for the dissemination of statistical products, so that as and when we produce numbers, members of the public and indeed our users can always link them to a geographic level, potentially at the lowest possible level where our sample surveys allow. Why I'm saying this is because sample sizes are small, the reporting at lower levels doesn't become possible, because we don't want to mislead the nation, as the errors of estimation can be very high, or the margins of estimation. So the bigger the sample, the more the ability for us to report at sub-national support as much, because there are some people will see this, and we will redesign our publicity for household surveys. Now, let us look at corporate services. One of the things that we are going to talk to is additional funding, and it's very critical for us to say this, that we have struggled for about 5 years since 2016 without sufficient funding. It's still not sufficient, because whatever little funding we have to play catch up, Chairperson. We will deal with the digital business transformation strategy. And in terms of innovation, institutionalization of the business process management, innovations in management information systems, as well as the modernization corporate support for the census, as in census 2022. What does the census, who are the role players in the census? One is that the president announces the release of the census. Chairperson, I need to say this, that the president only announces or presides on the release of the census without getting into the numbers. This is very critical, Chairperson, in that the collection and dissemination of statistics rests with the statistician. The president cannot even have a front. So is the minister. Nobody except those who work on the data will see the numbers. Statisticians across the world uphold ourselves to, because once is we do not want a situation
recording in progress.
May not interfere with the powers of the statistician general in the manner and time of a statistical collection or release. The form, the extent and timing of a release, the minister may not interfere. Chairperson, there was one day that Parliament was having a debate for the the budget speech of the president. And the Speaker of Parliament raised with the Statistician General, the then Speaker, that we have a debate and you have a GDP coming out. And we said, certainly we respect parliamentary processes, but the GDP had to go ahead, Chairperson, in that it was already publicly announced that it's coming out and methods were not an issue of a delay. And to delay releases, such as the GDP and other indicators that we release. South Africa is a signatory to the special dissemination, data dissemination standards by the IMF, which our country is a signatory. To delay such, it has more implications at the global level for the country, especially when we say we are delaying them because of political processes. Chairperson, let me indicate that the Statistician General determines the collection, compilation, and analysis of official statistics. As regards the census, the time and manner of a statistical collection, and indeed the form and extent and timing of a statistical release, it is in the act that the Statistician General must cause census to happen at all. Parliament, and indeed the NCOP, represents citizens of South Africa by providing oversight on implementation of imperatives and priorities of status, including the census. As regards the Statistics Council, one of the things is that they must have statistics and may issue a public statement on any of the releases that has been seen in previous censuses, Chairperson. I have lived through Census 96, 2001, 2011, and through two large-scale sample surveys. They have always issued a statement advising the public on what to exercise caution on certain data aspects of the census, which does happen on any statistical collection. This is the first digital census we have conducted in our country, in that it was run on digital platforms using tablets and running on electronic systems, in that COVID-19 has been a major disruptor of all our plans. What modes did we use? We used the online or web one, which we call the CAWI, the telephone one, which we call CATI. CATI stands for Computer Assisted Telephone Interviews, whereas the web one stands for Computer Assisted Web Interviews. The ones in person where our field workers arrived with the gadgets and were asking questions while they're capturing is called computer-assisted personal interviews. How did the census run? As of the 2nd of February, when we started, that was the census night, in that as of midnight on that night, anyone who found themselves within the borders of our country or who was flying out, we had to account for them. Or who are staying in a hotel or any lodge, as well as any person. We have sometimes been questioned, Chairperson, that you count even people that are illegal or are not documented. Our responsibility, Chairperson, is not to break the law, but is to help the country to be ready with any data that we need. Assume there's a neighborhood, Chairperson, where you have 90%, and we have such neighborhoods in this country, 90% of people who come from outside the country and in the majority not documented. These people, as we are talking, are using electricity, water, ablution facility, and health facilities. Imagine the country didn't know how many people there are. The census of the Americans, Chairperson will remember, that was in and out of court when President Trump was in office, because he wanted a question on the number of illegal immigrants, which would not fly because we are not supposed to ask that as statisticians in official practice. When we ask that, members of the public, especially those that are not documented, they don't respond to our questions. And it's a research matter all over the world. And then we lose on critical data aspects, including public health systems that get overloaded in some countries. So as of the 3rd to the 25th of February, we were out using the computer-assisted web interviews that were self-enumeration. From the 14th of February, we started with face-to-face interviews on computer-assisted personal interviews. And indeed, Chairperson, we started with mop-up as of the 22nd of March, all the way to the 14th of April, whereas for the Western Cape, we extended all the way to the end of May. And I will touch a bit briefly on that. As of the 1st of June, we started with the post-enumeration survey. And the progress is that, let me mention that the computer-assisted web interviews was not going to be our main form of collection. It didn't show us as much in terms of collection. At the initial point, only 33% of those who were registered were able to use this facility. Recent results show that 80% of people who have access to link completed the questionnaire, and we had about 200,000 questionnaires completed. The computer-assisted personal interviews was our way of collection. We have been able to reach over 18.2 million households across the country. And the computer-assisted telephone interviews reached out to 68,000 households in our country. Chairperson and members, issues of payment, of human resource management are issues that we had to deal with at a province. And there are times that we have had members of the public saying that they haven't been paid. We have so far paid the majority of our field workers. We still have one or two members who say that they haven't been paid, and we have to do every verification, Chairperson, before we pay. This is public money. We have had, in some cases, imposters that we have had to catch claiming that they were not paid when they actually never worked for us. So not everyone, while the majority of the people who have said they were not paid were indeed our employees. Not everyone who said they were not paid were our workers, and we are eliminating them. Chairperson, we had challenges with vehicles. COVID-19 affected vehicles all over the country, that there were no vehicles in the whole region. In previous censuses, we had taken cars as far as Botswana, Namibia, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique. This time, there were just no cars, vehicles, Chairperson. In that COVID-19 had depleted all the stocks that vehicle hiring companies were holding for purposes of use, because there was nobody who was using them, especially during highest levels of lockdown. We had challenges of refusals and non-response. Refusals, the law says we must arrest people when they refuse, but we took a position as to say that we would want to encourage everyone to be counted rather than spending time in court answering questions. Because when people are in court or are in jail or paying fines, they are not being counted. So we encourage members of the public to be counted. In terms of the progress of the census, let me indicate that we have had the Western Cape delaying. The challenges in the Western Cape were different than any other province. I've gone through four, I've lived through three censuses prior to this one. This was the fourth one, Chairperson. I have never seen a census as difficult as this, compounded by COVID-19. Also other issues that we had never seen before, especially in the Western Cape, where there was just poor participation. I had to go and meet with the Premier and the Cabinet and all mayors, and we had to agree and other role players that while we are working with the provincial government, this is not a submitting a statistical process, especially ongoing for supervision by a political process, but we needed their assistance. Even they themselves, the Premier and Cabinet, noted how difficult it was to reach out to members of the public in the Western Cape. But amongst other issues that we have faced were that the city of Cape Town that accounts for about 64% of the population, which is largely a white population group in terms of population segments. There was no uptake of censuses. Field workers because of the salaries, the wages we were paying. The people who were there said it was very low for them. And then they were not prepared to open their doors for other population groups to come and enumerate them in some parts of the city of Cape Town, but particularly in other parts of the province, other population groups groups can move easily. We even had to move in people from other provinces to come and help us, which we have done in previous censuses. When people finish in their district within their province, we move them around. We move them around from one province to another, as we have done in previous censuses. Let us go straight to the post-enumeration survey. What is this post-enumeration survey, Chairperson? Is that it is an independent sample survey that we take, and it looks at the accuracy and reach of the census. It is in line with the United Nations directive and the latest version being 2017, which we are signatories as well as authors of this one. It is a collection that is undertaken shortly after the completion of the census enumeration in line with the United Nations guidelines. It identifies how many households and persons were erroneously included. They were missed or double counted. In most cases, it gives us an undercount. And once we know that undercount, we use it to adjust the population accordingly. A census undertaking, Chairperson, we should reach out to everyone 100%, but it's not possible. Even in Nigeria, where they cause a three-day holiday to count everyone whenever they have a census, they don't reach out to everyone. Even in other countries where they have developed systems, they don't reach out to everyone. That is why the post-enumeration survey, and we are one of the few countries in the world that conduct it and publicize its result to indicate our undercount. We usually get beaten that you have missed out a lot of people sometimes, but we are above the board. We say this openly, and we are also open to scrutiny by our peers all over the world. But it helps us that when we come out with the census results, we know that they are properly adjusted and they are standing on solid grounds for future use, even by future generations, including scholars, Chairperson. What are the next steps? The next steps are that we are looking at the structural editing of the data, data confrontation, data coding and editing, weighing and weighting and estimation, analysis and report writing. And the post-enumeration survey indeed will be finalized, and it will help us to come up with a census final count, which will come out 12 months from now. The role of council as regards the census. They were there when we were planning and designing the collection in terms of our census plans, statistical methods, and content matters. In terms of analysis, other than they themselves being a specialist in their own regards, they will appoint an independent panel of experts. And this is not a panel of experts coming only from South Africa. The South African census has interest the world over. So this panel of experts comes from all over the world. That will help us with issues of data. They will consider the post-enumeration survey results, and they will provide advice to the SG on key aspects. And indeed, they may or will issue a quality statement on the results of the census. Chairperson, let's go to the next slide. We will go to risks and mitigation as well as risks and priorities, and I'll move a bit faster so that we can, let's start with strategic risks, Chairperson. We are saying that the demand outweighs the supply. And mitigation is that the census will give us a statistical information system in our country. And of course, it will we will invest in strategic partnerships as we have indicated in our mission statement. In terms of supply, we have discontinued and reduced some of our surveys because we don't have enough funding for that. But mitigation is that, especially on poverty and inequality, this year we are going to conduct an income and expenditure survey, IES, and of course we'll have various thematic reports and we will research on alternative data sources. Business operating model, it continues to be disrupted, especially at household surveys, because they rely on us having to go to people by ourselves and interview them. That is our field workers. When we are disrupted, especially by COVID, the biggest challenge we face is that not everyone has a telephone, and some change their cell phones amongst the sampled households. So these disruptions are ongoing, but we'll modernize on statistical value chain and use alternative data sources to make sure that we don't fail members of the public on numbers. In terms of our resources, Chairperson, we have a high vacancy rate, as we have already indicated. And of course, our E&E is not sufficient to cover our compensation of employees. And the extensions on the census has put us on serious pressure on funding. But we are engaging National Treasury on issues of rollover on the census. Additional funding has been requested. And of course, we will continue to reskill our team, our staff, while we prioritize in terms of reprioritize in terms of our work program. Chairperson, the next 5 years, we will drive legislative reform, which we are about to conclude. We will sustain the quality and protect the quality of national indicators. We will drive a business transformation and change. Chairperson, this slide says Ndihela Kwala, which means that I finish here. So it's very critical, Chairperson, that I explain this in the hell of one. When I was young, growing up in the village, Chairperson, our mothers could not read and write. They relied on us as their scribes. So when they finished a letter to our fathers, their husbands and their loved ones, they could not finish a letter with sweet words like, I love you, my husband, or I miss you. Because these words were not supposed to be heard by us who were their scribes, who were children. We would go deaf, according to a village legend. And if we wrote those words down, Chairperson, we would go blind, according to village legend. So every mother, whenever they wrote a letter to their husband, they would finish with this standard way of Ndihela Kwala, and in Xitsonga, in Sipedi, Kifeta Wanamo, in isiZulu, Ngiqeda Khona Lapha, in isiXhosa, they would say Ngiqeda Khona
apha ngalomkhulu umbuliso. And in English and Afrikaans, it's finished and klaar. Now, chairperson and members, never and never again, as President Mandela once said, should we allow any section of the society, be it men, women, children, be it based on population group or otherwise, to be excluded from our programs that they cannot even read and write, to a point that they cannot even express themselves on matters of humanity and well-being, that they would even substitute by other words. And we can only use numbers, official numbers, as a basis for arguing our case, not to ever exclude anyone in the future. Chairperson, the next slide, it looks like it's blank. And let me thank you and thank members.
Let me take the opportunity to thank Mr. Maluleke and his team for the presentation. Members, I will now open up for discussions, questions of clarity. You can raise your hands. I see Member Christians. Member Christians, you can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to know, considering the fact that there was a high refusal, or rather not refusal, but a non-response rate in some provinces, was that investigated? And if it was investigated, what were some of the reasons that people gave that they were not interested to respond to Stats SA's, the door-to-doors, etc.? And then with regard to the online medium, the digital moles, is there any way that Stats SA is looking at rolling that out more seriously to especially the rural departments? What is being done so that the same thing doesn't happen again? Because I think that the digital modes definitely yielded a lot of positive response. Not to say that the door-to-door didn't yield a lot of response, because I personally had someone coming door-to-door to my place. But how are we going to ensure that the uptake is improved in the future, both digital and door-to-door modes? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Christians. Sorry. After Member Christians, I noticed, the hand of Member Chabaleng, Member Latuli, and Member Donkini. Can we do it in that order, please, Member Chabaleng?
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. Let me say thanks to Mwanat and his presentation. It was very clear, particularly for me, because I couldn't link how Stats, link up with other departments, all government departments. Thank you very much. I just want to check in terms of the challenges that you faced in the last census, particularly challenges in the Western Cape and other areas where participation wasn't up to what we expected, given that it is a very urbanized province mostly. And you will expect that the people in that part of the world will understand things better than people in outlying rural areas. What other methods are you going to use to ensure that people do not fear statistics? Because, going back in my early age as a child, the way enumerators will come to the village and children will be told to hide. So you don't all get counted in because the old men will kill you after that. So those were some of the things, because they are saying that we are many. And those were the perceptions when I grew up as a child. Even when they were counting animals, we'll make sure that we hide some of the...
Did we lose you?
Hello?
We lost you sometime.
Yeah, I'm just saying then, what will be the interventions that they are going to make to ensure that the process goes smoothly and that people have trust in enumerators and the process of consensus, of a census? Did I say consensus? Thank you very much. And thanks to Mr. Malula and his team.
Thank you, Member Chabaling. We will move to Member Letuli.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone. I think Honorable Chabaling has covered me in some of the questions, but also, you know, there were a lot of fake news in 2021 when they did the stats. How is the department then rectifying the fake news whereby people were saying there were people who were wearing a uniform and tags and they were robbing their houses? And also, one would want to know, Uguti, how accurate are your stats, especially in rural areas? I happen to stay in rural areas. Lucky for my house, they came and counted, but I know of houses that are like, there are no access roads to go there where they were not counted. So how do you make sure that each and every house is being counted? And how do you compare the last year's stats to this year's stats? Because to me, it should be more, not decreasing, because people are building houses and there are people moving from urban areas to rural areas for whatever reasons, but how do you make sure that all houses are being serviced and counted? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Letuli. Member Tonkeni.
Thank you, Chair. Good day, Chair. Good day, DG and the crew. Good day, members. My question is about post-enumeration survey on 1st June 2022. Since the post-enumeration survey is the standard process after the census project did not bring the expected results and to close technical gaps, what is the cost of this survey? Does it still fall under the ring-fenced census 2022 budget? The second one, analysis of human resource management challenges. In light of challenges due to dropout and resignation regarding the enumerators, has the organization analyzed reasons for dropouts and resignation in order to avoid future recurrence, even in the anticipation for the post-enumeration survey? What did the analysis reveal? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, members. You can lower your hand. Okay. Sorry, excuse me. I still have a very bad flu. I've got two questions. The one is on the fleet shortages. Can the department please explain to us, how did fleet shortages still relate to COVID-19 when all heavy restrictions were lifted and the state of emergency being abolished? Sorry, then the issue, I didn't introduce myself. I'm from the Western Cape. So I'm a bit concerned, and I want to know the extended mop-up process for the Western Cape. What contributed to the citizens of the Western Cape being not too keen to fruitfully use any of the digitized methods to be counted, being that the Western Cape is an urbanized province. Is the mop-up campaign helping? And then the last one that I also believe was mostly part of the Western Cape. Since the post-enumeration survey is a standard process after the census project, did not bring the expected results, and to close the gap, technical gaps. So what is the cost of the survey, and does it still fall under the ring-fence census 2022 budget? And then how did you manage the situation in the Western Cape? I believe you did say you bring in some teams, but will we get the best results of the survey in the Western Cape, seeing that there were so many problems? Thank you. Ishi, I will hand back to you now.
Chairperson, let me apologize that some of our colleagues, especially our lady colleagues, Nozipho Shabalala, Nthabiseng Makgatha, and Yandiswa Mpetsheni are not in. So it will be more of a boys' choir response today. I'm going to ask Ashwell to talk to the issues of the publicity and all the approaches, including the concerted publicity in the Western Cape, while I ask Calvin Mulungwana to deal with the issues in relation to the system side of the census. And I'll ask all of them to be brief, Chairperson, while Bruce Uosted talks to the issues of the cost of the PS or a post-enumeration survey, whether it's ring-fenced or, and the reasons for the dropout of the field workers. And I will come with concluding remarks, Chairperson, in general to some of the issues that are raised. So in that quick order, Ashwell, Calvin, and Bruce, and please be brief.
Thanks, SG. Thanks, Chairperson. Just in terms of why do we find people are not responding to census nowadays? I mean, it's always difficult to count people. I mean, even in previous years, so you find, especially in South Africa, people, they build their houses so that other people can't get in. So normally we're concerned about crime, so we've got dogs and we've got high fences. So that's all to keep people out. But you find this time around, the COVID also had a significant impact on people's psyche. I mean, we do not want to see other people, or we don't want to engage with other people. So that also caused a barrier to people coming, to people allowing people into their houses. Also, we find that at the moment, the trust in government is extremely low. And you find that also in other projects, like, for example, vaccination or where there's voting. So all those contributed to where we are. So how did we turn things around in the Western Cape? I mean, part of what we did, we partnered with the provincial government in terms of helping us with communicating. And so the premier was on the radio every second day. They spent quite a lot in terms of their communication campaign to convince people. All the mayors from all the municipalities engaged their citizens. And we could see that made a significant difference. Whereas initial farmers were chasing our people away, after all this engagement, farmers started phoning us to say they wanted to be counted. And at the end, we counted in the field 74%, and 8% of people counted online. So we had about 160,000 people that completed the questionnaire online themselves, which is more than in any other province in the country. So finally, when we closed out that 82% in the Western Cape, which is you want 90 or a little bit more than 90, then it's decent. But 82% is respectable. We can live with that. We can work with that. How do we ensure that that people do not fear statistics? Maybe I'll give this one a shot as well, SG, although you didn't put this one to me. I mean, what we're going to do is, I mean, in another 12 months' time, we'll be releasing statistics. And when we release the statistics, we will try to make it as user-friendly as possible. So you try to take it to as many of the stakeholder communities, even to schools, to children, to municipalities, and you try to make it so that people can see it and people can understand. You tell stories about the statistics. You talk about how many children there are, how many people there are in different areas. And as statistics becomes used and becomes more useful, people will eventually warm up and start realizing how important it is. In that way, you create trust in the statistics and the statistical system. Thanks, Chair. Let me stop here.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. Maybe just also to add on what Ashwell has just explained. One of the things that I think as a statistical agency we need to do is to actually maximize on the usage of other languages. Currently, we disseminate mainly in English, while the majority of people might not be understanding the importance and benefits of statistics as such. And I think it is of paramount importance that we start also exploring at least the usage of other languages to explain the basics in this regard. I think it would go a long way because the question was also how do we ensure that people are not scared of statistics? And I think the honorable member did give an example of how people were rather trying to avoid to have children counted in rural areas. And I think in changing that kind of narrative, it's always best that you try and use an understandable language by the communities in this regard. In addition, I think looking at the digital modes, as we the SG has indicated, as a statistical agency, what we had tested over time was really the face-to-face collection approach. But when we look at the telephonic as well as the web-based, they were in the main introduced into the census because of the COVID conditions, which kept on changing from time to time. As much as we have seen an uptake on this mode, but it was not to our satisfactory levels. And at the household level now, what we will then be doing as we deal with our household collections would also be trying to once more show benefits to sampled communities that it is not always the only option to provide this critical information to the country, but there are now other modes which of course they could use without necessarily costing them a penny. I think one of the key issues that we had done in the census was that all our platforms were free of charge to the respondents. And once we managed to keep that going, I think members of the public might start warming up to that. But also in addition to that would be us demonstrating out of this census how the information as we collected was still kept confidential even when we actually went into this technological advancements. Also, I think one of the critical issues that we need to also consider, especially in trying to counter on issues of fake news, is that we need not only use publicity and education initiatives only during the census, because that is more a pressured period and it is not necessarily sufficient to reach out to all sectors of society. So I think as an institution, we also need to put more concerted effort in ensuring that there are programs that continuously inform and educate members of the public so that they could actually understand that participating in the census and other household surveys, it is actually a civic duty that assists in ensuring that the country has got the appropriate information to do planning and monitoring in this regard. Let me pause at that, Chairperson, and hand over to Bruce Joste. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to talk to a few issues in terms of the vehicles, Honorable Gillian, you were talking of the vehicles and the vehicle shortages. COVID started in early 2020, and during the 2020-21 financial year, a lot of the rental companies actually disposed of their stock of their rental fleet, and that continued up until 2021. So the uptake then of new stock was quite slow. So at the time of the census, we basically required about 4,500 vehicles. And when the census started, we actually had to get stock on a staggered basis because all the rental companies in South Africa could not provide us with that minimum quantity of vehicles. So we had over a period of 3 to 4 weeks as census was going, we had to then find stock when almost the primary or the festive season was concluded. And that is what actually impacted the shortage of vehicles. So a lot of parliamentarians were prone to that misfortune that Stats SA had taken most of the vehicles countrywide in trying to actually get to the minimum number of vehicles that were needed. In addition, we could also not get the vehicles we actually wanted. Instead of 4x4s for rural areas, we had to use vehicles. So there were challenges in that regard. So the knock-on effects of COVID is still being felt. And as census was progressing, there was new stock from rental companies that were becoming available and we could supplement our resources in that regard. Regarding the cost of the PES, we received funding for the PES in terms of our MTF allocations. There is a budget of 96.039 million for the PES. As ESG has alluded to, we have requested there were rollover funds that we are requesting from the 21-22 financial year. And also we are seeking additional funding due to the challenges identified and the extension of the census project. Engagements are currently underway with National Treasury to seek additional funding in addition to the rollover through the AE&E process. In terms of the dropouts of field workers, you'd recall census was initially planned for the month of February, so we had lots of students that were contract workers, and when census was extended, these students then had to terminate the employment because they had to get back to varsity, and this was in almost all the areas. There were also where people had taken people, some people were actually permanently employed, and then they had to return back to the permanent place of work, and that was also some of the numbers, as well as people that had criminal records. When those records verifications came back, there were a few terminations regarding qualifications and criminal record verification. I think that's all for now. Thanks.
Chairperson, I will conclude. And I'll take from this point that you raised, Chairperson, of fleet, in that the restrictions were relaxed. But business
all over the world with challenges of COVID-19. As restrictions are being relaxed, there was no ready uptake, especially in the fleet environment, because there were not as many people flying out to different destinations all over the country. And we will remember that most of the fleet is around airports where we get them. But not only that, it's because the first restrictions to lowest levels came in February, late January. And then the 4th of April, that's when masks were taken off from the public space and more restrictions to almost normal were brought in. But we were already 75% beyond, from the start of our census. But one thing we should appreciate is that we did the preparations of this census under very difficult and trying circumstances. Many nations, Chairperson, canceled their censuses. The ones that went ahead, Ghana and Cabo Verde on the African continent, and they didn't have kind of challenges that we have in terms of COVID-19. Tanzania, Namibia have had to postpone their censuses. So is Nigeria. Even when they didn't have challenges like ourselves. Canada, they have had to extend their collection up to 3 times, even when they have much more sophisticated systems than us. And we've been following these developments and been exchanging experiences with our colleagues. So as regards fleet, in some cases, especially in the Northwest, we had to use donkey carts and horse carriages in some cases. We even had to feed them with tracking devices to be able to know where they are working with our field workers. We used tractors in some farming communities. Because of the rains in KwaZulu-Natal, particularly, our vehicles even had to be assisted by oxen pulling them out of sinking in the muds. So it was very difficult. Scared me, Chairperson, the commitment of state-of-faith field workers when I saw some of them crossing a river swollen and flooding. Any of them could have been taken at any given moment by a current, even by crocodiles. It scared me. And I had to track some of them down. We had more than 85,000 field workers. But I had to track them down and talk to them and say, I know their commitment to work, but I plead with them not to put their lives at risk. We do have indeed imposters, people who will don, uniforms and sometimes claim that they are staff members. Chairperson. But let me mention that in most cases, we have been able to catch them. However, crime goes beyond status safe. We have been working with the national establishment and net joints, as well as provincial jogs and district jogs, to be able to report any cases. And we are so encouraged by the way in which the police have acted swiftly and the way in which members of the public have worked. In some neighborhoods, including in the Western Cape, we had agreements. There were times where members of the media were even saying we're hiring a private security to harass members of the public or field workers. But we worked with local police and even local security and neighborhood security companies to be able to allow and know when our field workers can be in the field and when they cannot be. And in some cases, criminals were caught while they were walking amongst members of the public. So it's an issue that we're dealing with. But as regards the refusals and low participation, it goes beyond status, say, Chairperson. The whole issue of apathy in matters of public participation, including the democratization process of our country, has been happening for quite some time. We know that in elections, every election after another has tended to show a poor voter turnout than the previous one. And just as a reminder, we remember that at some stage, there were elections in Mozambique where only 37% of the voters turned out. So we are seeing this in South Africa, not only in issues of the census, but in every issue of public participation. And all over the world, there seems to be an anti-establishment emergence and pressure groups emerging. And in our case, we have even engaged different platforms on social media, reaching out to every neighborhood. As regards the Western Cape, the first time we went to see the premier, we indicated that we were facing challenges. And indeed, even the premier and other mayors have realized how difficult it was becoming to reach out to members of the public. On electronic enumeration web-based, we had to send reminders. There were times that there are people that were sent reminders up to the ninth time. They could only fill a form on the ninth reminder that they could not take up that, regardless of telephonic, text, reminding, neighborhood reminders and the like, it couldn't work. So we are seeing this emergence. But also in the Western Cape, I have conducted censuses previously, 1996, 2001, and 2011. We know that the Western Cape was always difficult. It had the highest undercount in census 2011. But we should not be scared by the undercount, because the undercount, the more we know precisely what the undercount is, we have enough methods at SSA to be able to adjust the population accordingly, because even in our sample surveys, we do estimations. Now, we had the highest undercount, but what we have seen in this census was much more different, because you had situations where the white population group didn't want to be counted by colors and Africans, where the colors didn't want to be counted by Africans, where the whites and the colors were afraid to go to Africans' neighborhoods. I was there in Langa myself and Nyanga. And when I said I'm going to Michelle's Plain, they told me that's a very dangerous place to go to. And when I was in Michelle's Plain and told them that I'm from Nyanga and Langa, they said that's not a place to go. And we have seen this and in a way or a level that we have never seen in the Western Cape. We do see it in other neighborhoods. But the farming communities that have been refusing way back as in 96, as of 2001 and 2011, and currently in our sample surveys, they are our biggest supporters. We are reaching out to them. So every neighborhood in the society, we may not know fully reasons for refusal, but as we go back to report with census results, we will undertake levels of understanding so that we can serve them better. One of the things we want to say to members of the public is that we know you have refused, especially those who have refused. Tell us why you are not willing to participate. How can we help you be able to participate? Because this information is not only important for status sake, it's important for members of the public to use, whether they want to plan, working, engage with their government, all those that they account into public office accountable, or in any way, if they want to start businesses or any other decision they want to make, this data is very critical. So we need to reach out to every member of the public, honorable members. Let me mention that we will continue to work with yourself in this select committee as your new members now to try and see how we could reach out to members of the public, of course, while we maintain the independence
And with the experience that you have and that we have, we know how to balance the interface between ourselves without compromising the independence of statistical processes in the collection, in the hiring, even in reaching out to other avenues of statistical collection. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you, SG. Members, is there anyone who need to do a follow-up? So if there's no follow-up questions, I think this meeting was very, very insightful as our first engagement with this department. Mr. Maluleki, thank you very much and your team for such a brief presentation and also for the answers that you clarified issues where members have concerns. I am now very concerned, members and the SG. On your last remarks, in the what happened in the Western Cape. And I think this is a concern in this province. Maybe it's the wrong department to talk about it, but it was raised also by you now. And this is the I can't call it another name, the racism that still exists in this province. And it is very shameful that Stats SA was also experiencing this racism coming from all denominations in the Western Cape. And I think it must be a very serious concern for government. Not only for the government of the Western Cape, but also for the national government, that we must really look into programs of social cohesion. Because what you experience, Mr. Maluleki and the department, is something that people in the Western Cape experience on a daily basis. And I as a member representing the Western Cape in the NCOP, I am now more concerned. Because if it can happen in such a manner that Stats SA couldn't do their work properly because of issues of racism, it is a very, very big concern. And I think we must really look into members of our committee, how we can also raise this concern and work and with our interactions also with other departments, especially with the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, to see and the rollout of programs of social cohesion in the Western Cape. But thank you very much also for clarifying issues that members raised and concerns that members had. From my side, Mr. Maluleki, let me take the opportunity to thank all the field workers who was busy doing Census 22 under very, very difficult circumstances. And I think you have opened up the eyes not only of our members, but also of the community at large in this country. Especially when you put up that slide of people on donkey cars in the rivers and all of that, that we are still busy developing this country. And without census, we won't be able to do that. With that few words, thank you very much. Do you want to have a last bite, Mr. Maluleki, because the minister or the DM is not here? I will allow you.
Chairperson, we just want to thank you from Stats SA for allowing us to present
and indeed looking forward to a working relationship through which you will engage us robustly, and we will bring other issues to yourself. And let me mention, Chairperson, that today we only shared what the number of products. We have a rubric of different products. And at any given moment, Chairperson, when you need us to appear before you to share with this committee different products and any other issues, we remain ready to work with yourselves. We also have a program that we are trying to put in place with Parliament, where we should train it. It's a long-term project that we want to put in place. Train parliamentarians to appreciate some of our products. And we know they are educated in their own rights, but sometimes appreciating some of the products that we make available so that as you hold us accountable together with other departments in government, you have all the tools, including the empirical evidence you need. So we thank you again, Chairperson, as always.
Thank you, SG, and your team. Let me wish you well in your further work, and also wish the Minister in the Presidency, Minister Gungubele, also well. And we know, sorry, we know he should have been here if he didn't end the DM, if they didn't add other commitments. Sorry. Thank you, Alec. Sorry, we will now excuse the department members and then we can stay behind. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Goodbye, members.
Bye, Monash.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate.
Can I give this flute to someone else? Don't you want this flute? Tuli. Sorry, members. We'll now do the minutes of the meeting of the Select Committee on Health and Social Services. Sorry, on the 7th of June, and the agenda was informal briefing by the Department of Health and the National Health Insurance Bill, the adoption of the budget vote report, and all members were present. It was just Member Nkosi who had an apology. So members, you did receive this minutes. If there is anyone who noticed that there is some corrections, then you can raise your hand now. If not, can we have a move for the adoption of the minutes?
Sir, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Member Dongeni. Is the second?
Lee.
Thank you, Member Lee. Marcial, is there another one?
Chair, that is the last item on my agenda. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Let's go and prepare for our next meeting. We'll see other 2 o'clock in the house when we do our budget votes on social services and basic education. Thank you very much. The house is, the meeting is adjourned.
Sorry, Chair.
Hi, man.
Can we have an update about the study tour?
Okay, Marcel. Marcel can give you an update.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, members. There isn't much different to what I had updated last week. Only to say that we have submitted our application to the House Chairperson. We haven't received any feedback, and that application will have to go through various political offices before it's approved. On the side of the documents required for now, we need our official passports, which all members have. We need proof that vaccination had occurred. There is also a requirement from Korea that there be a COVID test done 72 hours prior to landing there, as well as a COVID test once you land there 3 days later. That is the regulations for now, Chair. In terms of South Korea responding to our request, we still haven't received a positive response. We do understand they are still busy, I think, with the inception of the new government. So as far as contact has been made, we've done that. It's now a waiting game, Chair. As soon as I have further information, I will update members, whether it be WhatsApp or by calling them. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Marcel. Donkeni, satisfied?
I'm sorry, Marcel. Can you please come again about the test of COVID or what, or certificate? Because I've done all the vaccinations.
Yes, Ms. Ndongeni, what we require is proof that we've had our vaccinations done, including your booster shots. We have to also, 72 hours before departure, get to a lab and have a COVID test done, which will say that you are negative. And as regulations stand now, 3 days into the trip, we'll have to have another COVID test done in Korea to prove that you are still COVID negative. That is as regulations stand now, Ms. Ndongeni. They do seem to change the regulations every few weeks, but we'll keep our eye on that. Also, with regards to the visa issue, we are waiting on the embassy to come back to us in terms of visa issues. Thank you.
Okay, Kimati.
Satisfied, Ndongeni?
Yes, so far. I don't know about other members.
Is there any other member with a question? Doesn't seem so. Members, this meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.